Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
2019 marks the fifth year anniversary of Singapore's Smart Nation Initiative. While the nation's digital push with focus on innovation and inclusivity is noteworthy and has been named to be the Smart City of 2018, a role model to the rest of the world.
But as smart nations and cities evolve at a rapid pace, there are no easy answers to how to cope with an increasingly complex risk landscape. And a city cannot be smart if it's not safe.
Mm-hmm. Grant Geyer is a Senior Vice President of Products at RSA, one of the first cybersecurity companies which helps organizations manage digital risks. And he joins us to tell us more. Well, Grant, let's start at the beginning with what a smart city is. What is the criteria to meet before you can call yourself that?
Well, thanks for having me. There are so many opportunities for organizations and countries to use digital technologies to enhance the way we work, play, and think about our lives online. Think about the future of autonomous vehicles or the fully connected home. All of these new emerging technologies create amazing possibilities for innovation and for making our lives much easier. And that is what the Smart Nation is all about.
So the criteria to meet is we have to have flying cars. No, not necessarily. Just to talk about the connectivity, right?
Well, I think that there's two parts of it, right? There's all of the government services that are going to be digitized to make the lives of citizens easier to use. There are all of the different technologies like Internet of Things devices that would act as sensors in our gas pipelines, our water pipelines, the electrical grid, in order to make those services available. And then there's connecting it all to the core network.
So how does being a smart nation, though, make us more vulnerable as we continue, as each city continues deeper and deeper into this journey?
Well, as we roll out new services and we digitize things like our identities, that's gold that hackers would love to go after, to be able to understand your identity, your credit card information, your medical records. This is information that could be monetized on the dark web. And so as organizations go digital, what's really key is to understand and manage the risks of going digital.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, why are costs increasing? I mean, the IDC estimates worldwide spending on smart cities initiatives to hit almost $100 billion this year.
If you think about the amount of sensors you need to connect cars or for a fully connected home or to have sensors on all of the lampposts, there's all of those pieces of technology can cost billions and billions of dollars. But then what's different about the Smart Nation is using 5G communications networks in order to take data from all of those sensors in real time directly and connected to the core networks, connected to the cloud. So it's layers of new infrastructure that need to be put in place and new government services that need to be put in place in order to make those available to their citizens.
That sounds quite inaccessible, though, some of these smart city solutions. Should we even bother?
Well, if you think about examples in your day-to-day life, we just built a new home and I no longer have to do the inconvenience of actually touching a switch in the house. I can just simply ask the system to turn on the lights, or when you walk into a certain room, they turn on automatically. These things may feel like silly conveniences, but it fundamentally improves our lives. Or if you think about how many times 10 years ago you were without money and you couldn't pay for something.
Yeah.
Having e-payment systems enable us to be able to purchase things without having the inconvenience of going to an ATM machine to get cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or how many times we had no clean clothes because we couldn't turn on the washing machine. I'm just too tired, right? But now we can do it via mobile.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, but I'm sure there's still some unforeseen challenges. I mean, Grant, maybe you can share with us, what are some unforeseen challenges for smart cities initiatives, and also, can they be mitigated?
Well, one of the fundamental challenges that a lot of security experts are concerned about is around the privacy of its citizens. Sometimes sensors will be required to repeat the IoT signals up into the networks. And these signals can only go maybe 300 meters. So you'll need sensors on every lamppost or every block. And some of the privacy regulators are concerned about that this could create a vast network of government surveillance into people's lives, understanding where you've been, what you're doing, where you're going. Now, there are technical solutions that people are working on in order to mitigate some of these risks. But with every type of technology, inherently come some risks that need to be looked
this
at.
this is more insidious than facial recognition technology?
Well, I think that if you marry the two, right, if you were to put facial recognition technology coupled with those sensors, you could,
whoop-dee-doo,
in essence, you could understand what people are doing. If a government, you know, there's been a lot of reporting on China and the fact that China is developing credit scores for individuals to understand their reputation as a citizen. I think that that's what some democratic organizations are worried about, is about the abuse that could be leveraged from the combination of facial recognition with these smart sensors.
Grant Gaia is Senior Vice President of Products at RSA. Grant, so we're hearing so much about cybersecurity risks. Tell us more in just a bit. Also, tell us about other digital risks involved that may not have come to the fore that we may not know about.
One of the risks that comes with the use of IoT technologies, Internet of Things technologies, we have to think of these devices like things that are in your thermostats, technology, emerging technology in your light switches. And these technologies need to be long life technology. And so therefore, many times from a security perspective, they're underpowered. What this leads to is controls that can be broken into by hackers. There was an example in 2016, a hacker broke it, just using standard out-of-the-box username and password, was able to break into hundreds of thousands of smart cameras around the world and other types of devices around the world and use these to form what was called the Mirai botnet, a mobilized army of computerized IoT devices that launched a denial-of-service attack to one of his intended targets that actually wound up disrupting the internet in parts of the United States. That's just simply one of the attacks available. Now, if we think about more and more internet connected devices as part of a smart city, if security isn't built in as one of the fundamental design characteristics, this could put a smart city at risk.
Mm-hmm. But why would one want to? Say, for example, if we use a smaller example, I have smart lights in my home and hackers manage to get in and just control my lights. What's the big deal, so to speak?
Well, one person's lights in particular are really not a big issue. I mean, you know, it might allow you to turn off your lights and go to sleep a little bit earlier that night.
Yeah,
right?
Use some
candles. But if we think about this, what I think the big picture is that in a more and more connected world, the future of conflicts will start with a nation not dropping bombs or not shooting bullets.
Turning off the lights of somebody?
But trying to disconnect the whole city, trying to take the electrical grid offline,
okay,
the communications grid. And that's one of the fundamental concerns, is that the future of war will be disconnecting an organization. And that's one of the downside risks that people are concerned about in a smart nation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Grant, may you tell us, how should cities be including cybersecurity in their smart city strategies?
Does it have to become more complicated as a result? Is it different from, the security that helps you protect data versus the security that helps you keep the lights on?
Mm-hmm.
For example?
Well, I think that you need to have different sets of controls in place depending on the sensitivity of the data or the sensitivity of the systems. I would not want the same degree of security on my home as I would want on the electrical grid, for one example.
Mm-hmm.
Or with some of the recent breaches that have happened around health data, individuals' prescriptions, knowledge of what diseases they have, that's information that needs to be very carefully kept aside. And so we think of this as a business-focused approach, a business-driven approach to how you think about risk. You're never going to be able to protect everything. And the key is understanding the most sensitive parts of the smart city, the most sensitive information, and really ensuring that's the area where the most controls are applied to be kept safe.
Why then are public-private partnerships and adopting a community-centric approach needed then to assure success? Too many chefs in the kitchen is the saying, though, right, Grant?
I actually disagree. I think that the more the governments can work in partnership with the private sector, that is the fuel of innovation. And it gives opportunities for new technologies to solve some of these privacy or security-related concerns. It also creates, the more that there's a heterogeneous or mixed approach of which vendors you use, it also creates more resiliency. Think about this. If the government building were to have only one telecommunications line and that were to get severed, they'd be in trouble. But having two or three different providers provides resiliency.
Mm. Well, before we let you go, Grant, give us a report card. How's Singapore doing on its smart nation push so far?
Bearing in mind we're quite competitive.
I would think of it that what's really impressive about Singapore is the degree to which it's taking modernization. Modernization is A+. It's really out ahead. What I think that the government has recognized with the SingHealth breach last year and some other data exposures this year is they've recognized that digital risk is a real concern, that security and privacy have to be built in and have to be – if it's not built in, it'll either cause lack of trust from its citizens, therefore slow the initiative down. Singapore is really out in front in terms of a forward-thinking, forward-leaning approach towards innovation and making its citizens' lives better. In terms of cybersecurity, I think that the government has recognized that security can't be an afterthought. The key here is that trust is the fuel of the digital economy. And if citizens can't trust their data and private information will be protected, it's going to slow down the initiative.
And the government has put in as an extra pillar or another pillar to our total defense, cybersecurity defense. So that's very heartening to see. Grant Gaya is Senior Vice President of Products at RSA. Grant, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.